Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from Psalm 45, verses 1 to 15. This is interesting because our New Testament reading this morning in Hebrews, there is quote after quote from the Psalms. The writer of Hebrews is quoting from the Psalms in describing Jesus Christ. And this particular psalm, Psalm 45, is also mentioned in the Hebrew reading this morning. And this is a psalm of celebration. It's a psalm of love. And it's a picture of our Messiah. And so, Lana, would you please come and share and leave your Bibles open to this, because we're going to keep referring back to it.
Psalm 45, reading to the end of verse 15. My heart is overflowing with a good theme. I recite my composition concerning the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured upon your lips. Therefore God has blessed you forever. Gird your sword upon your thigh, O mighty one, with your glory and your majesty. And in your majesty ride prosperously because of truth, humility, and righteousness. And your right hand shall teach you awesome things. Your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. Your throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. All your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces by which they have made you glad, king's daughters are among your honourable women. At your right hand stands the queen in gold from Ophir. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord. Worship him. And the daughter of Tyre will come with a gift. The rich among the people will seek your favour. The royal daughter is all glorious within the palace. Her clothing is woven with gold. She shall be brought to the king in robes of many colours. The virgins, her companions who follow her, shall be brought to you with gladness and rejoicing. They shall be brought. They shall enter the king's palace. Amen.
Amen. What a beautiful psalm here when you picture our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8 there, all your garments are scented with myrrh and aloes and cassia. And we remember the wise men who brought gold, frankincense and myrrh as a gift to the baby Jesus. Actually, he was a child then. He was probably over a year old, between 1 and 2 years of age, the time the wise men got to him, which is a sort of a bit of a flaw in most of the nativity scenes, where we see the shepherds and the animals and the stable and the baby and the wise men. But looking at verse 2 of this psalm this morning, of Psalm 45, we read about the king, the groom, and God has anointed the king's words, the words of Christ. Verses 3 to 5, we read there about the exploits of the king, the groom. He wins the battle, as Christ has done for us here today. Then we read in verses 6 and 7 about the elevation of the king, the groom, our risen Saviour, to the right hand of God. And then verses 8 and 9, the eminence of the king, the groom, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And verses 10 through to 15, the princess, the bride, Christ and his bride, which is, of course, the believing church. The believing church. So we'll leave it there, and we'll turn to our New Testament reading this morning, which is Hebrews. chapter 1, verses 4 through to 14. And this is, we're looking at the profile. The writer is giving us a profile of who Jesus Christ is, that we have got no misunderstanding of who our Saviour is and how much he loves us, and so much so that he could die for us. The King of Kings here, can you understand that he sees fit? He sees fit to even want to save us, and that we should worship him. In these verses, we see described Jesus Christ in his true light. We see Jesus Christ in his majesty, in his authority, his power and his glory. This is our Saviour and our Lord. Our Saviour and our Lord. Beginning at verse 4 of chapter 1 of Hebrews. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For which of these angels did he ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? And again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." All these quotes here in italics are from the Psalms. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?" But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail." But to which of the angels has he ever said, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool"? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? So these angels are being sent forth. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those? Who are those? We are those who will inherit salvation. Amen. This is our Saviour and our Lord, referred to in the Psalms as above the angels, above the angels. The name Jesus possesses is Son, while angels collectively are called sons of God. This is interesting, isn't it? But when we open the book of Job to chapter 1, verse 6, we read, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." And of course, Satan asked permission to attack Job. So the sons of God, the angels, created beings. In verse 5 of our reading this morning, which is, "For which of the angels did he ever say, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you,' and again, 'I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son'?" No angel would be given this title individually. It belongs solely to Jesus Christ. Solely to Jesus Christ. In Psalm 2, verse 7, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" And from eternity past, Jesus Christ was the Son of God, Then he humbled himself and became a man. And we read that in Philippians chapter 2. There's that beautiful number of verses there where Paul says to us as believers, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Jesus was God incarnate. He was God in the flesh. He was the image of God. And so, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was equal with God, part of the triune Godhead. He was there at creation, born to a virgin in the likeness of men, grew up covered in flesh as we are. This is God in the flesh and paying the ultimate price to uphold the righteousness of God and the laws of God while having mercy on sinners and making a way for them to be reconciled back to God so that we could spend eternity with him in heaven. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Can you imagine? And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. As a sheep before the shearers is silent, so our Lord did not open his mouth. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. There's no higher position than that of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ and no one else can hold that mantle that Jesus is holding. In his resurrection, he glorified that humanity that he took on when he became a man. He glorified that humanity that he received from the Father, and he received back the eternal glory that he had veiled as a man. He gave up the glories of heaven, but still being God in the form of flesh, came and walked on this earth and died and was buried in the earth and rose from the grave and ascended back to heaven. So when he ascended back to heaven after he'd risen from the grave, he glorified that humanity that he had received from the Father and received it back, received back the eternal glory that he had veiled in himself as a man. So many people saw the miracles and heard him preach, but he was just a carpenter's son from Nazareth. They didn't see the God-man Jesus Christ. In John 17:1, where Jesus said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your son, that your son also may glorify you. This is Jesus Christ. It's hard to imagine that God could allow himself to be clothed in the flesh and walk among men and be as a man, a servant, and to allow himself to be nailed to a cross in order to pay the sacrificial system that God had set up way back in the Old Testament times, that man should learn way back there. The Israelites were being taught every time they brought an animal to be sacrificed at the altar for the sins in the tabernacle. They were being taught the picture of what Christ was about to do for mankind. And we are in such a fortunate position today. We can look back through the whole of the scriptures. We can see where the sin began. We can see God's hand upon Israel, upon Jacob, upon his family, and as they went into Egypt, as they come out of Egypt, how his hand was upon Moses when he led the people out and led them to the promised land, and the people wouldn't go in. God's been dealing with us day in and day out, and we in our blindness have found every excuse possible not to come to turn to him. And this is why I said at the beginning today, do we think about death? Do we think about what Christ has done? Can we see what God is doing in order to open the gates of heaven for each and every one of us through Jesus Christ? The resurrection declares Jesus is God's Son. In Romans 1:4, Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By his resurrection from the dead. How many of us have jumped out of the grave at 3 days? These are the things that only God can do. Only God could come and stand at the tomb of Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forth, and demand that we come out of the grave. This is the offering Christ has made for us on the cross. In verse 6 of our reading this morning, but when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Let all the angels, that's Psalm 89 verse 27. He is the firstborn who receives worship. And this does not mean born first. Does not mean born first. But it means rank and honour and glory. He is the firstborn of all creation. He created all things, and he is the highest of the kings of the earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. All who come back from the dead, which is in Psalm 97 verse 7. Also, when he came into the world as a baby, God's angels worshipped him. They were commanded by God to worship him, proving that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. God in the flesh, greater than angels, greater than angels. Verse 7. This morning is a psalm from Psalm 104, verse 7. And of the angels, he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? The angels are created spirits. They have no bodies, but they can assume human forms when ministering on earth. They sometimes serve our Lord Jesus Christ during his ministry, or be at the time of his ministry when he was on earth. Remember the time when Jesus went out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and the devil come out and confronted him. If you will worship me, I'll give you all these worlds. He tempted him 3 times, and what did Jesus say? It is written. It is written. This is how important God's word is to us today. It is written. God has laid down everything for our salvation in a book called the Bible. He empowered through the Holy Spirit a great number of men to put pen to paper, to write, so that we here today in the 21st century can pick up and read and discover the marvellous things of God. When the devil had finished with Jesus and left him out in the wilderness after the 40 days, when the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. They serve him then, and they serve us now. Verses 8 and 9. Here we are at the psalm that Lana brought to us this morning, Psalm 45. Verses 6 and 7 is mentioned here. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. more than your companions. He is God enthroned and anointed. Angels minister before the throne. They do not sit on the throne. Jesus sits on the throne. Psalm 110:1, the Lord God said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. This is the Jesus Christ we're worshipping here this morning. He has done all these great things. He not only created the world, but he humbly came into the world as a child, grew up and died for our sakes, rose and went to heaven. We have the testimony and the witness of those who saw him, the Gospels. We have the wonderful witness and testimony of Paul and others. But the world is too busy. The world is switched off. The world has other things on its mind. Jesus is God's anointed, who is right now enthroned in glory. Enthroned in glory. Remember, Jesus has not yet entered into his earthly kingdom to rule. He has not yet entered into his earthly kingdom to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is at his second coming. But he has been enthroned in glory. He's in glory today. He's our advocate today. In Ephesians 1:20, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, Jesus is back in his rightful place. And how often do we think Jesus is back in glory? How marvellous. But he's back in glory with a hole in his side and nail prints in his hands and his feet. And he says to his Father, I died for them. They are mine. They are mine. I paid a terrible price for them. If they would just call on me and ask me into their lives, they are mine. When Christ ascended into the heavenly glory, he was anointed for his heavenly ministry with the oil of gladness, as we read in that psalm. This is a wedding psalm. Our Lord today is our heavenly bridegroom who experiences the joy that was set before him. His throne is forever, forever our eternal God, and he is waiting for the day when he will come together with his bride, the church, and bring them home to glory. In verses 10 to 12 of our reading this morning, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, for your years will not fail. Psalm 102, verses 25 to 27. Jesus, the eternal creator. The angels did not form the earth, for they are part of God's creation. Jesus Christ is the creator, and one day he will do away with the old creation that we have around us today, and he will bring in a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth, and all around us will change. But be sure of this, he will never change, for he is God. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the bright morning star. He is the beginning and the end. And in verses 13 and 14, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? Sit at my right hand. Jesus is sitting today at the right hand of God in all glory and honour. In Mark 16, verse 19, we read, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. As mentioned in the New Testament, angels are ministering spirits who serve the Lord, who is seated on his throne. The angels also minister to us today, who are the heirs of salvation. The heirs of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So many people today worship the Lord. Many people today think they're going to heaven. We read in Matthew chapter 7 where the Lord said, where Jesus said, "I did not know you." And they said, "Oh, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Cast out demons in your name and did many wonderful works in your name." "I didn't know you. I didn't know you." Now, that's a frightening passage of scripture, because people everywhere around the world today are sitting in churches thinking they're going to heaven, and they're not. And they're not. Our salvation is a personal salvation with our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And unless we come to him, unless we acknowledge who we are before him, unless we seek his forgiveness before, on our knees, we're not going to be adopted into the household of God. We're not going to see the eternal glories that Jesus has stored up for all who will inherit it with him. The angels also minister to us, who are the heirs of salvation through faith in Christ. The angels are serving us today, guarding us from the wills and the wiles of the devil, just as Jesus intended. Therefore, the evidence is overwhelming. As the writer of Hebrews has said and has presented in these verses, Jesus Christ is greater than angels. He's greater than the law that was laid down for the Old Testament people, the Israelites in the wilderness and going into the promised land. He's greater than the law which they helped to deliver to the Jews. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who calls us out of this wicked world which is passing away. He's calling us to share in eternal glory. And you know, many people today even think that this has gone on for so long. What are you talking about? I'm calling you out today. Come out from amongst them. Be separate. Look up. The time is near. I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me. We hear all these passages of scripture. People say, for how long? It's been going on for 2,000 years. How long did Noah take to build an ark? How long was Moses in the wilderness with a mob of sheep before God called him to lead his people into the promised land? How long will God's suffering, long suffering, be for humankind? How long will he wait until the last man comes in to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Saviour? How long? How long? He's calling us to share an eternal glory with him, to share his inheritance around his throne. We cannot begin to visualize the wonder of his glory. It's beyond our capacity to know. The absolute joy of it all. What's the Bible say? No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. Wow. Even while we live in this body that is full of groaning and full of pain today, he's asking us to put our trust in him. It is to secure eternal joy from this day forward and for all of eternity. No one but Christ could meet our needs. And so today, especially today, he invites us to come to his table. Come to my table. So let us join together now around the Lord's table and partake of the new covenant vows that he has made for us through his blood. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God and of his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.